Would you open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, please, and find verse 18, 2 Peter 3, 18. I really love all those songs we did tonight. That last one is especially powerful to me, just knowing that it's only in Christ that we stand. Amen. It's only by His grace. We have no hope in ourselves. Someone was talking a little earlier before we started, just what AJ say? Checkered past? We all do, right? We all have sin. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. And I know some of you look at your life and you're like, well, my life is way worse than their life. Or God forbid any of you look at yourself and you're like, well, my life is way better than theirs. I think we should all be like Paul. I am the chiefest of sinners. And I am so thankful that God's mercy extends to me, that His grace is enough for me, and that He was willing to save a wretch like me. And that's the hope of the gospel, friends. His blood can take away the sin of everyone. So rejoice in that. Let's stand together if you're able. 2 Peter 3:18 is where we're going to find our text. Some of you, I told you the last 2 weeks that we were going to wrap up our study in Peter, and we did. But as is often the case, as I study the Bible, one thing I'm studying leads to something else. And so that's exactly what happened here. Just really thinking about this idea of what it says here has kind of launched into another study. And that's what we're going to learn about the next several weeks, is growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to pray together and then we'll read our text. And as we approach God's word, I'm going to ask Brother Nelson if you'd lead us in a word of prayer. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. And all God's people said,
amen.
Let's please be seated. But grow in grace. So these are the last words that we have recorded that I know of the Apostle Peter. I told you as he wrote these two letters, he knew that his time was coming to an end. The Lord had let him know that he was going to die by crucifixion. He told him that. And that time was coming near. And as he gives these last admonitions, this is it, the final ones, are grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It really struck me just thinking about knowledge, because it stands out to me when I read my Bible. I don't know how you guys think. My brain works different than most people. I know that. But when I think about the Christian life, when I think about spirituality, I think about faith. It's all about believing. It's what you believe, not about what you know. But then I read my Bible, and it keeps saying these things about knowing Him and knowledge and how important knowing God is, how important knowledge is. And not just in the New Testament, but of course in the Old Testament. I mean, most of you have read at least some of Proverbs, and it's all about having wisdom and understanding and knowledge. So it's not just blind faith, just believe, but it's also knowing. And so that led to a whole study about knowledge and seeking those things out. But you can't just jump over this word grace. So we're going to start with grace first, and then in time we'll get to this idea of knowledge. So he calls us to grow in grace. Now, at first glance, you might look at that and go, I don't get it. Like, knowledge I get, that requires effort, doesn't it?
Amen. Amen.
Okay, let me try this. Have you ever increased your knowledge about something?
Amen.
Did it take effort? Like anything you ever tried to learn in your life, you had to apply yourself. Now, some things come easier to some of you than other things do, and we're all different in that, right?
Amen.
I know at least with my kids that they have subjects that come easy to them and subjects that are a struggle with them. And I think it's the way it is with most of us. Some of you, I mean, it's, some of you live your lives, it's like you were born with a wrench in your hand and you just know how to take stuff apart, put it back together. It's like you just get it. And I'm like, I got to watch a YouTube video 17 times to figure out how to change anything, right? And that's not me. That's not the way I work. So we all, but it takes effort to grow in knowledge. So I get that. Grow in knowledge, that takes effort. That takes some diligence. It takes study. It takes diligence. Like, you're not going to just know something by sitting at home scrolling through Facebook or Instagram. Like, you're going to have to apply yourself to learn something. But then when I think about grace, I'm like, that doesn't make sense. How do you grow in grace? Grace is just, like, that's what God gives you, right? That's by definition, grace is unmerited favor. It's when God gives you what you don't deserve. So how can I grow in that? Like, I don't understand. And so studying that out was really encouraging to me. It's freely given, but he calls us to grow in it. So it's not like grace is just given and that's opposed to growing in it. No, it takes both. It is ongoing provision by which the believer lives, matures, endures, and hopes in Christ. In other words, to grow in grace is not to earn more of God's favor, but to live more fully, more humbly, and more obediently in light of his grace. Amen. Growing in grace doesn't mean that if I do something, he's going to give me more grace. It just means that I'm going to realize it more. I'm going to be able to live in it more. I'm going to be able to live my life in the grace of God. And isn't it a beautiful thing to experience the grace of God?
Amen.
Have you ever experienced God's grace?
Amen.
I mean, are you breathing right now?
Amen.
Like, it's his grace that we're here.
Right.
It's his grace that we live and move and have our being. It's his grace. So, we're going to try to, this is going to be a little bit of a technical study, and I hope you'll stay with me. I hope that it's beneficial to you. But the New Testament primarily speaks of grace through the Greek word charis. That's the main word that's used. It's freely given favor. It's kindness. It's God's benefaction towards us. And grace is consistently, we see it as it originates from God. It's just his favor. It's not something that anybody's ever earned.
Amen.
Okay? So we can think about some people in the Bible that really stand out that found grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, when you read that, you may be, yeah, it's because Noah was such a good person. No, it's just because God's good.
Amen.
It's because God's good. Now, he put himself in a position to receive that grace where others would rebel against God. Noah just put himself in place to get it.
Amen.
I think about Mary. Mary was highly favored. What that means is she had great grace in her life, and so she put herself in that position. So it gives us some different ideas. There's some different words that will help us understand, I hope. Another word is charizomai. It means to grant freely, to forgive as an act of grace. Now, if you are forgiven tonight, is it because you earned forgiveness or because he freely gave you forgiveness? I'm forgiven tonight. It's because of God's grace that I'm freely given forgiveness. Another one is doria or doron. I didn't say Dorito. Doria or doron. And it means a gift that's freely given. And it's about the actual gift that's given. Another one is eucharista or eucharistia. And that's where we get the word Eucharist. You've heard of that before. It is thanksgiving. It is the response that we give to God because of his grace. And by the way, when you get grace, you should give thanks.
Amen.
You guys remember the 10 lepers?
Amen.
How many of the 10 lepers in that story are healed?
10.
How many of them came back and gave thanks to Jesus for his grace?
Only one.
And I wonder how many times God's poured out his grace on us, and we're too busy just going on our way, we don't even turn around to give thanks. We want to give thanks. That's Eucharistia. And then the last one is Corregio. Corregio. And you're like, how do I spell that? I don't know. To supply abundantly.
Amen.
To supply abundantly. This is the reality that not only does God give you good things, he keeps giving you good things.
Amen.
He who has begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Christ. What Jesus has started, he's gonna continue. So how does grace work? In as we look at the New Testament, how does it work? First of all, there's salvific grace, the grace that saves. It's God's unearned favor that brings forgiveness and new life. Now, I it's my hope and prayer that everybody in this room right now has received the gift of eternal salvation. You have received God's grace and salvation. That's the first grace. That's the initial grace. Now, if you have it, or if you're watching online and you've never received this, I want you to understand what happens. There are a lot of people in the world today who believe that if I'm a good enough person, if I go to church, if I get baptized, if I do enough good stuff, then God will give me forgiveness of sin. I can earn that, and I can make my way into heaven. And I want you to know tonight that nobody gets to heaven by their good works. Amen. It's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by his mercy, he saves us. And so Amen. When you understand that, and when you turn away from your sin, and unbelief, and you put your faith in Christ alone, then he freely gives you eternal life. Amen. That's the first time you experience, I think, knowingly experience God's grace. Now, maybe you would argue with that. Like, before you got saved, maybe you're like, you understood that the good in your life came from God. But I'm going to tell you this, that's not the same as experiencing his grace and salvation. Amen. And I don't know if you guys can remember. I hope you can. Can you guys remember the moments before you trusted Jesus? Amen. Do you guys remember that? Like, Amen. I was lost, and I knew I was lost. I was on my way to hell, and I knew I was on my way to hell. Amen. Like, that moment that you just, everything changes Amen. Instantaneously. Right. I was Amen. Damned. I was condemned. Right. The wrath of God was on me, and now, in an instant, through faith in Jesus, that's all taken away. Amen. My guilt, my shame is all gone. And now I have life everlasting. That's grace. That's experiencing it for the first time. The next one I would say is justifying grace. Or we might say reconciling grace. This is the grace of God that declares sinners righteous and restores them to fellowship with God. Do you guys think that it would have been awesome to be like Adam and Eve before the fall? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, you're talking about Adam and Eve in absolute sinless perfection. Sin hadn't entered into the world. There is no sin. There is no sorrow. There is no death. There is just absolute perfect fellowship with the Creator. Amen. Can you imagine that? Like nothing stands between you and God. Like when he comes to walk with you in the cool of the day, you just get to walk with him. Amen. Unashamed Amen. And perfect because you've been made in the image of God. Now, we just can dream about that because we can't really understand what that would be like. And you understand that when the Bible talks about reconciling us to God or redeeming us, that's exactly what he's talking about. What was broken in the fall? What was broken in the fall, Christ restores in your salvation. Amen. And he brings us back to this. He restores us to a right relationship with him, right fellowship with him, the way that Adam had before the fall. Which is hard to imagine because I'm looking around like I messed up today. Did anybody else? Like I'm still struggling. Amen. I still got this carnal mind and this carnal flesh and I still wrestle every day. But I'm going to tell you that I've been made right with Jesus. Amen. I have a right standing with God just like Adam did. Like before the fall, I have this relationship with God that's perfect because it's based on Jesus, not me. Amen. So I have this position. I've been reconciled to him. I've been justified by him. And I've been restored to a right relationship with him. And I most of you have heard this before. Justification is just as if I'd never sinned. Amen. You guys heard that before? Amen. Justified just as if I'd never sinned. But it's not just that. He doesn't just take away your guilt. He also gives you his righteousness. Amen. So that when God the Father looks at me, he doesn't see my sin. He sees the righteousness of Christ. That's grace. Not only that, but there's also transformative grace, or we might say instructive grace, grace that teaches us, grace that trains us, grace that reshapes our lives. That's grace. Amen. Okay? How about this? Has your life changed at all from before you got saved to after you were saved?
Amen.
Are you different? And I know some of you are like, listen, I got saved when I was 8. My life didn't change dramatically, right? And some of you are like, my life was a train wreck. Amen. before I got saved. Okay, so we're all in different places, but whether you can see it and it's a big glaring thing for you or not, I promise you, you're not the same as you were before.
Amen.
He changes you. He reshapes you. And it is instantaneous that we're new creation, we're new creatures in Christ, but it's also an ongoing process, right? And we teach it to our kids. He's still working on me.
Amen.
To make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars. Help me out, guys.
Amen.
Sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me.
Amen.
There's a lot of good theology in some of those kids' songs, isn't there? Listen, he's still working on me. He's still working to put off the old man and put on the new man. Friends, that's grace. It's grace. And so I'm trying to get you to get this tonight as we start looking at this idea of growing in grace, to see that it wasn't just grace that saved you. It's grace that keeps you saved. And it's grace that changes you. It's grace that sustains you. And we don't just become made alive. We're not just made alive by grace. We are kept by grace.
Amen.
And we will be forevermore. So it's transformative, it's instructive, it teaches us, it trains us, it changes us, it reshapes who we are from the inside out, and we live our lives differently because of grace. And then next, I would see empowering or sustaining grace. Kind of goes a little overlap here, but it enables us to endure, it enables us to obey, it enables us to persevere. Okay, raise your hand tonight if you think living the Christian life is easy. Easiest thing I ever did was living the Christian life. Anybody? I told you before, Carrie Schmidt's book, Real Christianity, helped me out with this a lot, because I used to think living the Christian life was hard. But it's not hard. It's impossible.
Amen.
And you're like, okay, well, let's just go home then. What are we doing? I mean, it's impossible for us to do in our own strength. It's impossible for you to do in your own flesh. It's impossible for you to do in your own mind. It's impossible for you to do without the grace of God.
Amen.
It's his grace that empowers us. It's in his grace that enables us. It's his grace that allows us to persevere. And I just want to tell you, I don't know about you, but have you ever had times in your life when you wanted to just quit?
Yeah.
I mean, as a Christian, I just want to be done. Some of y'all are amen, and others are like, I would never admit that. Like, not me. I have always wanted to keep on keeping on for Jesus. Never for a second did I think about quitting. I hope that's true for all of you, but it's not true for me. I've had my moments. I've had my days. I've had those darkest of times when I just wanted to lay down and quit. But you know why I didn't? Well, I can tell you it's not because I'm so good. Or because I'm so diligent, or because I'm so strong, because I got something in and of myself. It's because of the grace of God that's in me. He wouldn't let me. He loves me too much. You know what? He won't let you either. You may turn away for a time. You may slip back for a little while. You may try to trip and fall. You may stumble. All those things might happen, but he will pick you up again. He will. And then number five, I have a hard time with this word. Bear with me. You guys ever heard the word eschatological? I have to say it real slow. Eschatological. It's grace that's we would just say end times. But it's grace that fulfills everything. You know, we've been learning a lot about the kingdom of God. Is the kingdom of God here and now, or is it somewhere in the future? Yes. And we understand that he's going to come and fulfill all things, right? Jesus is coming again. And he's going to rule and reign forever and ever. We know that he is ruling and reigning now, but he is coming again. Our Savior is coming again. How do you know, brother? I was like, how do you know he's coming again? Because he said so. He never told a lie. It's impossible for him to lie. He is coming again because he said he would. And so Jesus is coming again, and all of the things that we're looking for, all of the promises, all of the hope is going to be fulfilled, and that's grace.
Amen.
I talked about the fact that when Adam sinned, sin, sorrow, and death, before he sinned, they weren't in the world, but they are now.
Amen.
Sin, sorrow, and death are realities that we face. I would say death is our greatest enemy. I know it's the last enemy that'll be defeated. Now, I don't know about you, maybe that's a little confusing. Jesus, when he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." But then I read later in Revelation, it talks about things being finished. So which one is it? And the answer is yes. Listen, Jesus finished. What did he do? He paid the debt for our sins. And everybody who repents and trusts in Jesus has everlasting life. But we live in the here and now. We're in the in-between. One day he's coming back again, and it's all going to be fulfilled. And I know that that's true, and I can live with hope today because of the grace that I know he's coming again.
Amen.
And God revealing to himself that he has things that are coming in the future, that Jesus is coming in the future, that he's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes, that is all grace, that he's made those things known to us. And listen, some of you take it for granted. You've heard it since you were tiny. You know that Jesus is coming again, but friends, let it sink into your hearts. Jesus Christ is coming again.
Amen.
You'll see your Redeemer face to face. Yet in my flesh shall I see God.
Amen.
My Redeemer's coming and I'll see him, and this is the grace that I can know that he's coming again. I thank God for his grace. But grow in grace. But grow in grace. So how am I going to do this? How am I going to grow in grace? Well, it's not about us earning, striving to get what God freely gives. But it's about learning to live humbly, obediently, and gratefully in what he has already done.
Amen.
What he's already done. Tonight, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And we're going to bring this message to a close. I've got a lot more to talk to you about in growing in grace, but I really don't want to split this next section up. So let me just start here. Have you received God's grace in salvation? Brother Rick Adams, I don't know that I'll ever get away from this. He used to, at the end of the service, a lot of times he'd say this: "Can you put your hand on your heart tonight and say, I know that I have eternal life. I know that Jesus Christ has saved me." Listen, if you can't say that tonight, if you don't know 100% for sure right now in this moment, friend, you can know. You can repent. You can turn away from your sin and unbelief, and you can trust in Jesus Christ tonight.
Amen.
He said that if we'll come as a child, a small child, that we can enter into the kingdom. That means I got to humble myself, and I just have to believe. So if you've never trusted Jesus, you can receive his grace tonight by trusting in him, calling on his name. And then I want to ask you this. We talked a lot about that salvation and reconciliation, but the rest of it, it's kind of ongoing. And I want to ask you this. Are you walking in his grace today? Are you growing in that grace? Because he's putting off the old man and putting on the new man. He's doing a work in you day by day. Or are you not doing that? Are you continuing to walk in the flesh? Continuing to give in to the old life and the old man and the old way? I want to tell you, Jesus has a better way.
Amen.
For you to live in his grace day by day. If he's convicting your heart, I hope that you'll respond in faith and obedience while we pray together now. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this time. I pray your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts. I thank you for the grace that you've given to us. Grace to send Jesus to die for our sins. Grace to save everyone who repents and believes. Grace to keep us saved forevermore. Grace to help us as we struggle with sin and temptation and the desires of the flesh. You give us grace to overcome those things and grace to live a life that pleases you. And I pray that if anyone here or anybody hearing this message has never been saved, I pray that they'll trust in you now. They'll receive the free gift of eternal life. And that you'll help all of us to live for the one who died for us and rose again. Thank you for this time. And please bless that we can grow in your grace and knowledge today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.